With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
The classic story is told, you've heard it many times, of the 18-year-old boy who wondered if it would be all right with God if he finally kissed his girlfriend. And so he went out to the family oak tree and got up under that oak tree and cried out, "Father, Father, up above, can I kiss the one I love?" What he didn't know was his little 8-year-old brother had already climbed up in that oak tree. Having heard that prayer, "Father, Father, up above, can I kiss the one I love?" he yelled back down, "Sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go." Well, that young man thought he heard the call of God. Yet if we're honest, many times in our lives, oftentimes in our lives, we need to hear the clear, unmistakable call of God. And it's no joke. It's no laughing matter. Questions that are not at least directly answered in the Word of God. Should I buy or sell? Should I rent or lease? Where should I go to college? Should I go to college at all? What job should I take? What person should I marry? How do I deal specifically with this issue in my family, this problem with my child, this matter with my parents? Lord, I need you to speak to me and give me clear direction. Samuel is a picture of one who has the call to what we would call vocational ministry. And tonight in this room, just based on the size of this assembly, there are some young men and women who are asking, "Lord, are you calling me to serve on the foreign mission field?" Young men in this room tonight, "God, are you calling me to preach?" There's some folks that need to be saying, "God, are you calling me to teach Sunday school? Lord, how are you calling me to serve? Are you calling me to teach?" Somebody may be saying, "Lord, are you calling me to stop teaching Sunday school?" No, he's not. But God, your word says in Jeremiah 33, if you'll call to me, I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. The question I ask of this text tonight, Lord, if we're calling and you're answering, how will I know? How will I hear your voice? How can I be absolutely 100% teetotally positive that it's you? How can I be sure that I'm hearing the call of God? The first 10 verses of 1 Samuel 3 give us insight into how Samuel heard and processed and responded to the call of Jehovah God. And there are three very simple principles that I want to lay before you tonight that I think will help me and will help you to hear and rightly respond to the call of God when he calls out to us. Number one, we need to consider a place of service. One of the chief and fundamental things that will help you to hear the call of God, to know it, to recognize it, to discern it, is to find yourself in a place of service. Verse 1 says that Samuel had been ministering to the Lord before Eli. Where exactly was that? We get a little more specific insight when we look down in verse 3. Verse 3 says that Samuel lay down that night in the flickering flames of the lamp of God. The lamp of God shining in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. That was this young boy's nightlight. The Bible says he was in the temple, which we know was a reference to the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. The lamp of God was his nightlight. The tabernacle of God was his bedroom. And the Bible says he was there in the place of the Ark of the Covenant. That's some pretty amazing bedroom furniture, if you ask me. He's in a place of service. Back in chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says of the boy Samuel, he was ministering to the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 18, he was ministering to the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 21, he was growing before the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 26, he was growing in stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, when God called Samuel to a place, listen to me now, of greater service, it's because he was already in a place of service. And you're never going to hear God more clearly than when you're doing your best to serve Him in the places that He's given you, the ministries He's provided, and the opportunities that He has set before you. Now, there are a couple of things that I want you to notice about Samuel's place of service. I think there's insight here for us. First, I want you to notice how obedient he was. He is already doing everything that he knows to be the will of God. He is obediently serving the Lord. One of my first real jobs growing up in Valdosta was actually to work at what then was a country radio station. It was a low-powered AM station, 3,000 watts, 1150 on your AM dial when you come into Valdosta, on Highway 84 at least, right when you get to Perimeter Road. If you head on past Perimeter Road on the right-hand side, you'll see a small little brick building, and there's a radio tower there, and that's 1150 WJEM. It barely covered the county. We would have on Sundays some local churches that would provide their radio program, and that day they would record it on a cassette tape. And we would play those cassette tapes, and some of those preachers from places like Stockton and Naylor and DuPont and Hayhira, they would get on and they would welcome their international audience. But I found this picture on the internet this afternoon. That's the coverage map of WJEM. If you got much past, Stockton, about halfway to Homerville, and you were already getting static on the dial. As a point of reference, we've got a similarly powered station right here in Blackshear. It's WFNS. And the best place to catch WFNS is in the Roses parking lot, because the tower for that station is just past it on the north side of Highway 84. The best place to pick up Big Jim Radio WJEM is at the intersection of Highway 84 and Perimeter Road. You see, in those low power radio transmissions, my simple point to you tonight, the best place to get a clear signal, the best place to get a signal that's strong and plain and easy to discern is to get as close to the transmission tower as you can. Now, some of you already know where I'm going with this. The best place to hear the call and discern the voice of God is to get as close to God as you can be. The best way to hear His voice of service is to find yourself as close to Him, faithfully serving Him as you can be. By contrast, when I was in high school, as far back as the 10th grade, I knew that God had a call on my life. Being raised in a very small congregation, I didn't know anything much about a full-time vocational ministry serving on staff at a church, but I knew that God had a job kind of call on my life. But when I graduated from college, I'm embarrassed to admit to you tonight that I spent about 6 months away from the Lord. It should not surprise anybody that during those days, those weeks, those backslidden months, I didn't hear the call of God as clearly as I had been for the years before that. And tonight in this faithful assembly, the reason some of you cannot hear the call of God to service is because you're not already serving Him. If you're the last to arrive and the first to leave, and you come like you left and leave like you came, you don't have a place to roll up your sleeves and serve God at in and through His church, then don't be surprised when there seems to be static on the radio dial of the soul. On the other hand, when you start serving the Lord, it's amazing how clearly you can hear Him call you to greater and further service. I've seen it time and time again. Some old man gets saved. Some young married man gets saved. Next thing you know, he's baptized, starts coming to church. Brother Lynn, we hear that he shared his testimony in a class. He fills in next for his Sunday school teacher. Next thing you know, Brother Richard likes this illustration. He takes a Sunday school class as a teacher himself. Richard's over here about to speak in tongues. Then you hear that he's been invited to speak at the Brotherhood breakfast at a couple of churches in the association, and it's not long before he walks down the aisle on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and shares that God's called him to preach. That happens because when you're serving God faithfully, you're able to hear God's call more clearly. But I testify tonight, that's not a truth just for preachers. It goes for any act of service and any call from God. The story is told of D.L. Moody traveling on a train, and he looked across the way and saw a young man about college age with a suitcase. He said, "Where are you going?" And the young man, not knowing he was talking to the great evangelist, said, "I'm a Christian and I'm going as a foreign missionary to a foreign country." Moody said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I'm also a Christian. Tell me about the last person you led to Christ." And the young man, clutching his suitcase, had to admit he'd never led anybody to the Lord. Moody said, "Then you're not going as a missionary, you're going as a tourist." I want you to notice how obedient Samuel already was. And his life testifies to us tonight that the best way to hear the call of God is to get as close to Him as you can get. And for Samuel, one reason the call of God was so clear is he was living in the right place. It was a place of service and a place of obedience. Notice not only how obedient he was, I want you to notice how old he was. More specifically, I want you to notice how old he was not. Verse 1 calls him a boy. Later in the text, we learn that he was a boy. Now, that word itself doesn't tell us how old he is. But Josephus, the Jewish historian, confirms that the oral tradition of Israel places Samuel around the age of 12 years old. He had been taken there probably at the age of 3, maybe 4 years old, when his mother Hannah had weaned him. Every year, Hannah and Elkanah would go up to the tent of meeting, and Mama would take him a updated linen ephod, and she would remind him of the call that she believed God had on his life. But this boy in our vernacular would be a middle school boy, and yet he has just received a call that will change the history of the nation of Israel forever. And in no small way would change the course of human history. I want the attention of our youth Sunday school teachers for just a moment. I started to share this with you in our workers' meeting earlier tonight. You don't ever know who you've got sitting in front of you in your Sunday school class. He may be the next great evangelist. He may be the next staff member. You may have the man, the young boy in your class that will follow and succeed me as the pastor of this church. Teacher, Christian worker, you never know who's in front of you when you minister for the cause of Christ. But students, I want you to lean into this text tonight, because just as the adults don't ever know who's in front of them, you too don't ever know what God has in store for your future. And I come tonight to tell you that you're never too young to give your life fully and completely to the service of the Lord. Senior adult, you're never too old. If you're still breathing, God's not finished with you. But I'm talking to our young folks for just a minute tonight. And I tell you, from the youngest child in this service tonight, you are not too young to hear the voice and answer the call of God. You can serve God in your home. You can serve God in your family by taking out the trash, by doing what mama tells you to do, by doing what daddy tells you to do. Some parents say amen right there. You can serve God at your school by being a witness for Jesus, by being kind to your classmate, by looking for an opportunity to tell someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young lady, young man, you can be a witness for Jesus on your ball team, on the band bus, and you can serve God even at your church. Samuel would say, you're not too young to sell out fully and totally to serve the Lord God. Right now in our church, we have need of 10th, 11th, and 12th graders to register to serve at our upcoming children's camp. You know, we call it Champ Camp. And every single Sunday, this congregation can use young people to serve God in a variety of ways. We're just a few weeks away from high school graduation. Could I speak to our senior class for just a moment? And juniors, you're not too young or not too early for us to get this thought in your mind either. When you graduate from high school, don't waste the next 4 years of your life planning on serving Jesus one day. Serve Jesus now. Do this thing called adulting. When I was a child, I thought like a child, acted like a child, and spoke like a child. But when I graduated from high school, I put away childish things. And I started looking for a place to serve the Lord. I wanted a place to roll up my sleeves and be counted for the cause of Christ. In just a few weeks, we're going to offer CAPA training. That's our child abuse prevention and awareness training, specifically for our high school seniors, because we want to go ahead and position you and train you to find a place of service to God through the ministries of this church. You see, Samuel's call reminds us tonight that when you are already serving the Lord, when you're living up close to what He's called you to do, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. When you're in a place of service, you can more clearly hear the call of God. In Samuel's life and in ours, it involves, number one, a place of service. We're not out of verse 1 yet, however, before we have to deal with this second principle, not just a place of service, but a passage of Scripture. For the Bible says at the second half of verse 1 that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. One translation calls it precious. Precious in this case is not speaking of its value, although the word of God is valuable. It's speaking of its rarity, its scarcity. The word of God was rare in those days. Visions, that is a vision, a revelatory vision from God, they were infrequent. Now, I plan to be relatively brief here, which for a Baptist preacher means almost nothing. In part because we talk so much in this church about the Word of God and its impact and authority over our lives. And we've noted on many occasions, tonight especially as we're talking about hearing the voice and the call of God, the best way, the most reliable way, the only guaranteed way that you know you're hearing the call and the voice of God is when you read the Bible out loud. But in those days, the Word of God, the Word from the Lord, was rare. Prophetic revelations, visions, and dreams that God used in that day, they were infrequent. By contrast, a few moments ago, we sang these words, that we want to hear truths unchanged from the dawn of time. And if you want to hear the call of God, you're going to preeminently and primarily hear it through the pages of Holy Scripture. Now, as we think about a passage of Scripture, I want to tell you, first of all, something about how available it is now. How available it now is. Again, one translation says the Word of God at that time was precious, speaking of its scarcity and its rarity. For example, one reason that we say that gold is a precious commodity is because gold just isn't laying around everywhere. And in the days of Samuel's call to the ministry, God was not exactly pouring out revelation and divine direction every single day. There were no prophets. There was no ongoing word from the Lord. And visions, as it were as scarce as hen's teeth. But child of God, you and I cannot claim that today. We may be ignorant of His Word, but we can't plead ignorance of His Word. The American Bible Society says that 85% of American households have at least one Bible, and the average American household actually has 4.3 Bibles. One publishing website says that 20 million Bibles are sold in America every single year. That's around 55,000 every single day. That doesn't even begin to count the hundreds of millions of Bibles that have already been printed and published and purchased in the United States. And that doesn't even begin to count the Bibles that we have on apps on our phone, websites that we can access, podcasts and YouTube sermons that teach us the Word of God. The Word of God is available to us now through the pages and the passages of Scripture. If we stay with our radio station analogy for just a moment, I don't know anything that will cause static on the tuner of your soul like a dusty Bible. Someone has said, "These two hath God married, and none shall ever part. Dust on the Bible and drought in the heart." You know, sometimes when a person loses weight, it's not because of an absence of food. It's because of a lack of an appetite. You've been eating things that don't bring about real substance. And similarly, a failure for God's people today to hear from God is most likely not because of a lack of access to His Word, but because of a lack of spiritual appetite. What a tragedy to have spiritual anorexia, to be surrounded by His Word and live a life void of hearing from God. Before I move on, I do want to point out that Samuel, for the most part, is by himself. He's alone in the silence, laying in his bed in the silence of the night right by himself. And boy, that's a word that this technological culture needs to hear. One reason we may not hear from the Lord is because we've got too much other stuff going on. Now, if I bare my soul for just a moment, there have been more than a handful of times that my wife is trying to talk to me. She's trying to tell me something. But I've got my face and my thumbs buried in my phone. And do you know what she will very politely and very kindly frequently say? "I need to talk to you about something. Let me know when you get done." I wonder at times if God the Holy Ghost may feel like that. You see, we live in a culture and we live in a day where very few things make us feel more unsettled, more awkward, more nervous than silence. You see, some of you right now are wondering, "Did I forget what I wanted to say next?" There was a day when we would stop and unplug. But now we've always got something going on. I thought about this past week as I got on a tractor to do some work, getting a little garden spot ready at our house. There was a day when I did something like that. I may put on some ear protection just because of the noise from the engine on the tractor, but the other day I noticed that I had my AirPod in and I was listening to some music inside those noise protection earmuffs. There was a day when I would have taken time mowing the grass or riding on my tractor to spend some time with the Lord. But now there's always something going on. There's a TV in every room. There's an AirPod in both ears. There's a watch that won't let us forget that we tried to turn our phone off, but we still got our watch on. Does anybody in this room know what I'm talking about? One reason that Samuel may have been better able to hear the voice of God is because God wasn't having to compete with so much other background noise going on. But as we consider the passages of Scripture wherein God speaks to us, we see not only how available it now is, but how authoritative it still is. You see, when the word of the Lord came to Samuel today, it was just as authoritative in his life as it still is in our life today. I recently saw a clip on ESPN of some old football players who were gathered to take part in an induction, the new inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And as these men were there, you saw the camera kind of pan the crowd. It was obvious that these men, because of age, if nothing else, were well past their prime. They no longer had the power and the strength, the ability or the mobility that they once had. But listen, friend, the Bible's not like that at all. It ages quite well. The book I preach from tonight is known as a sword, and it's just as sharp as it ever was. It's known as a seed, and it's just as fertile and productive as it ever was. It's known as food, and it's just as filling and satisfying for the soul as it's ever been. It's called a lamp, and it guides as well as it ever did. It's called a light, and it is as bright and brilliant as it was when God first breathed it out. The book I preach from tonight is called The Law of God, and it's just as controlling and commanding as it ever was. You see, when you and I read the Word of God and we read of its commands and its dictates, it's just as authoritative as it was when God first had it written down. Pastor, you said at the beginning we were going to talk about some things that we may need God's direction when it's not specifically in the Bible. Well, there are some questions in life you won't find answered specifically in the Bible, but you will always be able to find general information to apply to the specific situation you have in your life. This is why if we're going to hear the voice and respond to the call of God, we must be a people who base our ministry and build our life on the principles of God's Word. Commenting here, Del Ralph Davis notes that if believers have a church where social activities, committee meetings, and nifty programs have not eclipsed the place of the Word of God, if the teaching of the Word of God stands at the heart of that church's life, if there's a pulpit ministry where the Scriptures are clearly, accurately, and helpfully preached, then they are rich in the grace of God. I say again, this is why every ministry in this church is to be based on the Word of God. That's why every time we gather, somebody's going to open up or quote from the Word of God and teach you what thus saith the Lord. For example, in our student ministry, that's why while we have fun, and while we try to have a good time, it's all based on the Word of God. Even in these days of transition, in our student ministry, we're walking verse by verse through the book of James. I say that to tell you this. For the last 15 years or so, we've had families from time to time leave because our student ministry features a typical service that some of the teenagers say feels too much like church. That they seem to be annoyed that students are challenged to sit for 40 or 45 minutes and listen to a God-called man teach from a God-breathed book to a God-saved people. That's not a flaw in our approach. That's a feature in our approach. In other words, as we look for leadership and chart a course for the next season of ministry, what I just described is not a weakness we're trying to change. It's a strength we're committed to reinforce. This was a middle school boy called by the voice of God to shake a nation and change the world. And when God speaks to him in the text we'll review next time, verses 11 through 14, God speaks to what is probably a 12-year-old boy and uses words like judgment, iniquity, cursing, rebuking, atonement for sin, sacrifices, and offering. And God had a reason to think that young man would know what he was talking about. You see, you're never going to hear the call and voice of God apart from a passage of Scripture. And you're never going to hear the call and the voice of God apart from a place of service. Thirdly and finally, you won't clearly hear the voice and call of God without a posture of submission. You know, we live in a culture where nobody wants to submit to anybody. My son, the older of my two boys, recently as last week, joined the Navy, and I had occasion to drive him over to the recruitment office in Waycross, and it reminded me of the well-known story about the young man graduated from high school who said he was tired of being told what to wear and where to go and how to comb his hair and what to eat and when to go to bed and when to get up, so he was going to join the Marines. One reason Samuel heard the voice of God, he was in a posture of submission. I guess it was around 15 years ago or so that I was in the backyard working one Friday afternoon when I received a call from a pulpit committee of a large but struggling church. And 1 week later, back mowing the grass again, I could not shake that possibility from my prayer life. I knelt that afternoon in the floor of my shop amid all the sawdust, and this was my prayer. Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll be anything. I'll do anything that you've called me to do. I just want to know what you want from me. And I'm telling you, I sense the Holy Ghost say, that's what I want from you. That. I want you on your face, on your knees, saying, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll be anything. And it just so happens I want you to stay and be the pastor at Emmanuel. But what I want from you is a posture of submission. Conversely, I ask tonight, why would God send direction to one of his children if God knows you don't have any intention of actually doing what he says if he told you? Now, Samuel pictures for us a posture of submission in two very obvious ways as we work back through these verses quickly tonight. First, he was submissive to the authorities in his life. Everybody in this room has some authority over your life. I've got leaders in this church to whom I am collectively and biblically accountable. I'm accountable to this congregation and ultimately accountable to the Lord. And I don't care if you are a business professional and you own your own business, you've got some authority over your life. If you're married, she may be sitting next to you tonight. Samuel was submitted to the authorities in his life. Look, notice in verse 7, there's a very interesting little footnote here in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. I ask tonight very simply, if that was true, and it was because it's in the Bible, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, how have we been studying for the previous 12 years of his life that he's been serving God in the tabernacle? The answer is pretty simple. Because there were three people in his life who've been telling him what to do. Eli the priest, listen to me now, and his mama and his daddy. It began, of course, with Samuel's parents. He didn't yet know anything personally about the call of God on his life, but he knew this. My mom and daddy come up here to the tent of meeting every year for the particular feast. And when mama brings me that homemade linen ephod that she's been working on, she and daddy say something to me about mama not being able to have any children. And how she prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh opened her womb, and she and daddy committed me to be a servant of this one called the true and the living God. Mama told me to stay here, and daddy told me to live here and do whatever that man right over there, Eli, told me to do. And for our young people in the room tonight, if you've got a mama and daddy who walk with God and who serve the Lord, If you don't know any other thing God's called you to do, hey, listen, friend, He's called you to honor your mama and your daddy. And if they've told you to do something that's not inconsistent with the Word of God, you don't need another word from God than to do what your mama and your daddy told you to do. Some years ago, I was attending a funeral down the street at the Blackshear Church of God. The lady that had passed away, I think, was well into her 90s. Her granddaughter was roughly my age, and she stood there at the funeral to eulogize her godly granny. She told the story of when she was a middle school girl. She went to Granny and said, "Granny, I need you to talk to your son, her daddy, and set him straight about something." Granny said, "What in the world?" "I asked Daddy if I could have my ears pierced, and he said no, that he thought it was a sin to have your ears pierced. And I know there's not a verse in the Bible that says you can't have your ears pierced, and I need you to talk to your son and set him right." And she said, "Granny told me there was a verse in the Bible that told me it'd be a sin for me to get my ears pierced." "Well, where is it, Granny?" She said, "You go look for it." Came back a little while later. She'd probably gotten down her Strong's Concordance looking up earring verses. Couldn't find one anywhere. Granny said, "It's in there. You need to look again." She went back and scoured the Bible again. Came back to Granny a second time. "Granny, there's not a verse in the Bible that says I can't get my ears pierced." And she said, "Try Ephesians 6:1. She turned over there and it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." "Honey, didn't this whole conversation start when you told me that your daddy told you you couldn't get your ears pierced?" Honey, that's all the Bible you need. As long as you're living in your daddy's house. All the call of God that Samuel needed before he got a direct call from God was the instruction of his godly mama and his godly daddy. It began with Samuel's parents. What I mean, young person, if your mama tells you to take out the trash, God may have just as well thundered from his throne, "Take out the trash." If your daddy says that prom dress is not appropriate, it's not appropriate. You've just heard from God. I'm not getting the amen I thought I'd get from the parents. If your mom and daddy said you're going to student camp to gripe and moan and complain, it's to sin against God and His Word. If your daddy said you can't see that young man, if your mom and daddy advised you to stop seeing that young lady, I'm telling you, it is as good as a word from the Lord. It started with his parents. It continued with his supervisor. In this case, that was the priest Eli. I just want to point out briefly that he was also doing what Eli told him to do. He was teachable enough. Boy, there's an attribute that's lacking in our culture. He was teachable enough to do what his boss at the tabernacle told him to do. It's Samuel that famously responds in verse 10, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Do you see that in verse 10? I want to ask you a question. Where did he get that phrase from? He got it in verse 9. You see, he doesn't recognize the voice of God yet. He keeps hearing somebody call his name. He thinks it's Eli. He keeps going into Eli's bedroom, and Eli finally realizes this is the voice of God. He says, "Samuel, go back to your bed. And if God calls you again, here's what you need to say, son. Say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" And he had enough humility and God-ordained teachability that he did what an authority in his life told him to do. He had a posture of submission, not only to the authorities in his life, but finally to the assignment from his Lord. Do you hear how open-ended this is? "Speak, your servant is listening." The obvious implication is, since I'm your servant and you are my master, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. At this point, neither Eli nor Samuel knew what the assignment was going to be. But the old priest and mentor had enough experience and God-given common sense to know the best thing, listen to me now, the best thing to say to God is, yes, Lord. Now, what's the assignment? Yes, Lord. Now, what is it that you want me to do? Most of the parents here have had the same experience I've had. You've had your kids come up and say, Daddy or Mama, would you do something for me? If you got any experience, you say, well, depends. What is it? That's never a good answer to give to the Lord. The best answer to give to the Lord, if He says to you tonight, will you do something for me? I sure will, Lord. What is it? Now, if my kids ask me, would you do something for me? I'm going to say, depends. I'm not trying to be funny, but if my wife asks me, would you do something for me? For a lot of reasons, I'm going to tell her yes. The biggest reason, in all seriousness, the biggest reason is because I trust her. She's not going to ask me to do something that she knows I cannot do. She's not going to ask me to do something that wouldn't be for my good and for the glory of God. I would say yes because I trust her. But as much as I love and trust my sweet wife, I have reason to love and trust and serve my Savior even more. With no idea what the assignment is going to be, Samuel responds, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. One of the first little worship choruses that I learned when I started attending a Baptist church was an old song made popular and prominent by a black gospel singer named Shirley Caesar. The verse says, Lord, I give you all the glory for what you've given me. You have filled my life until it overflows. All I have is yours to use in any way you choose. You are Lord of all, so how could I say no? So I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, where Pastor Mike Stone is committed to walking you verse by verse through the books of the Bible. You can contact us through our church website at ebchurch.net or visit pastormikestone.com. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Emmanuel Pulpit.